for this night, Lord. We thank you for the time of worship. I pray that our hearts were praising you, Lord. These lives would be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It's our reasonable service. Lord, we thank you for your mercies, for your grace, for your justice. Lord, we rest in your sovereignty. We trust your will, and we accept your plan. We thank you for your word, Lord, and reveals everything we need, and that's Jesus. We come to hear from him, to draw nearer to him, to learn of him, and to exalt him. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher, that we would hear as the word of God and not the word of man. We thank you, Father God, for the precious book of Psalms. We thank you for the way you lead us through your word, the way you guide us to the green pastures, to the still waters, that your goodness and mercy continually follow us all the days of our lives. So, Lord, we pray tonight that you would minister as only you can. Our expectation is of you, Lord, and you alone. So, Lord, we pray, Father God, that you would give us the full portion that you have set aside for each one from the foundations of the earth for this day, that you might be glorified. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can open your Bibles to Psalm 150. Kind of sad that we're at Psalm 150, to be honest with you. Still not positive on next Wednesday. You know God's never early, right? I want to convince myself he's never late either. He's just not on my time, that's all. I titled tonight's message, Excellent Greatness. When you think about the book of Psalms and how there's so much that, you know, from the Psalms of David and a few of Moses and many of them unnamed, we don't know who wrote them. Korah wrote some. It's just amazing the culmination of all of them and how they touch every aspect of life. The struggles that we go through, the difficult times, the good times. And when you think of, you know, how would God end the book of Psalms? And he ends it with the five hallelujah psalms. And especially this psalm, Psalm 150, where praise is mentioned 13 times in 6 verses. You get the idea that the Lord wants you to understand that no matter what we go through in life, no matter the difficult times, that we can still have a heart to praise him. Amen. The book is filled with emotion. It's got prophecy in it. You think of Psalm 22. If we didn't have Psalm 22, we wouldn't know what was in the heart of the Lord Jesus while he was on the cross. We see the words of Christ there and his heart that's revealed there. We wouldn't know that. Psalm 23, I mean, what a beautiful picture of the shepherd and how he shepherds us through our lives. Psalm 24, it's his ascension and he's going in. Who is the King of Glory? It's Christ. It's Christ. And there's so many. Psalm 119 and how important his word is. And his precepts and his testimonies. And he just continues to pour it out. And ultimately, the author of the book is God. We know that. We know that. Even though there's different authors and there's some that there's no author. The same thing, you look at the book of Hebrews. If God wanted us to know who wrote it, he would have told us. Whether it was a secret and, you know, Paul didn't want no one to know it was him. Regardless, we know who wrote it. God wrote it. And that's all we need to know sometimes. When you read and study the Psalms, you're met with the joys, the sorrow, the tears, the trials, the pains, the pleasures. But yet it closes on the highest note of praise. It's like the book of Revelation that closes the New Testament. The final psalm says to God's people, don't worry, this is the way the story will end. It ends in praise. It always ends in praise. Amen. But we may not experience that when we go through difficult times. But we will be praising the Lord. Praise is the essence of the redeemed person's life. It shows continual appreciation for the redemption God gives believers and continually shows us the need and the frailty that we have for God's strength. We need that. We need that. The holiness and the love of our God are more displayed in man's redemption than in all his other works. Since we must shortly breathe our last, while we have breath, let us praise the Lord, then we shall breathe our last with comfort. Every day is an opportunity to see the Lord in a new revelation. Never get tired of that. Don't think for one second that, well, God gave me this awesome revelation yesterday. He's not going to do it again today. Don't think that way. Think that I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to show me today as he showed me yesterday. Listen, it may be the greatest revelation you ever had, and maybe just a little thing that God shows you. But whatever it is, take it to heart. Because it's what God has showed you specifically for that day. It's amazing just how awesome God is. It's only six verses, so I'll read through them and then we'll go back. Again, it's a hallelujah praise, so it begins with praise the Lord, it ends with praise the Lord. So he says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. In the margin it says, or firmament. Verse 2, it says, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then it shows them how they were praising. It says, praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. And then it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then he says, praise the Lord again. Praise the Lord. Praise begins at home. In God's own house, we pronounce his praise. I love, and I'm biased, so I can say this, but I love our worship. I love it because it's simple and it's not a performance. We don't have the light show. We got rid of the smoke machine. The pyro, you know, we got rid of it all. It just didn't work out for us. No. Anybody's listening to this for the first time, they'll be like, really? They had all that? You know, you never know who's visiting and listening to this main message, right? No, we don't have any of that. It's as plain, and so we don't lower the lights. You know, we're not lighting candles. God forbid. But we don't do any of that stuff. We simply worship God. And there's a purity in our worship. I feel it. I think that's my opinion. And again, I'm biased, so I can say whatever I want. But there's a purity in it because it's not performance. I know somebody that was going to join a music ministry in another church. And they said, okay, you're going to memorize all the songs because you can't look down. You have to smile. They literally had a whole list of things that they had to do. I don't tell them anything. They don't check with me what they're going to sing. I have no idea. I'm as surprised as you are when I come to church on Wednesday. And sometimes I'm more surprised than others. And I'm walking in and I can hear them playing that last song. And me and my wife looked at it. We were like, oh, I love that song. But then again, we say that to 95% of the songs. But it's true. It's true. Because it's praise. Because we know who we're worshiping. We're not coming to worship a church. We're not coming to worship a building. We're not coming to worship a pastor. We're not coming to worship each other. We're coming to worship Almighty God. Amen. And that's the only one that matters. It's Him and Him alone. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His sanctuary. It has to begin in God's house. In God's house. Listen, there's no crisis. There's no enemy spoken of. None in the view. It's pure praise. The sanctuary of God. It's a place set apart for His honor and involves special recognition of His presence. Praise Him in His mighty firmament, the wide expanse of sky with all its might in the storms and the weather. It's also a fitting place to praise God. Since the firmament stretches from one horizon to the other horizon, it tells us that God should be praised in every place under the sky. God's sanctuary is not fixed to a particular building. It was for the Jews. It was in the temple. The temple, they believed, and rightfully so, because that's what they were taught, that the Holy of Holies was the presence of Almighty God. And so they believed when they prayed that they would face Jerusalem all the time, and they would pray towards Jerusalem. Good picture of that is Daniel. When Daniel opened his window, he got on his knees and he prayed towards Jerusalem. He did it three times a day. And the point was because that's where they believed the presence of God was. But what about for us? Listen, Jesus makes His sanctuary among His people collectively. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, we are the temple of His presence. We are. Jesus makes His sanctuary in the individual believers. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple. We bring praise with us, and our praise begins in the sanctuary. Where's that? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. Listen, if your heart's not right, if you had a bad day and you bring it into church, and you had a bad attitude, you know who I'm talking to right now. And you come in and you just had a bad day, you're not praising in His house. You can't bring praise to Him. You got to let the world go. You got to lay aside whatever it is that, you know, was encumbering you and not letting you just fully worship and praise the Lord. Lay it aside. It's easy in my mind, in my opinion, when I come and I start worshiping the Lord, I don't think of nothing else but worshiping the Lord. And then, or I think of His presence, or I let the words of the songs, of the praise song, I let them minister to my spirit. Sometimes I sing, sometimes I don't. It's like Sunday, God gave me that vision of the Lord in the church, like sitting in the front, and it changed everything. Listen to this, though. Ultimately, Jesus Himself will be the sanctuary of God among His people. Revelation 21, 22, it says, the Lamb are His temple. The Lamb is the temple. No, it's individually. No, it's corporately as the body. It's Christ. It's Christ. Listen, all roads lead to Jesus. Every road in the Bible leads you to Jesus. Every one of them. Guaranteed. So the sanctuary is literally the holy place, God's dwelling place, and in God's heavens. He's dwelling in us, but yet he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's guiding us through his Holy Spirit, yet he's in heaven praying for us, ever making intercession for us. Whatever he promises, he is able to perform. So whatever promise God gives you in his word, for whatever the situation you're in, you can take it to the bank. You can trust God for it. God will deliver. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Worship is not about the worshiper and his or her needs. We think if we worship hard enough, you know, God's going to grant whatever we want. He said, I will provide for you all your needs according to his riches and glory. Never says your wants. Because let me tell you, sometimes we need famine. Sometimes we need heartache. Sometimes we need persecution. That's all part of God's will. That's all part of God's plan and God's way. And yet we look at it and we go, oh, I thought it was supposed to be good. God's will is good. What happened to the good part? That is good. You know, as a parent, you know, we told our kid, you don't know what's good for you. You know what I mean? Only we know what's good for you. Well, you can say that with the Lord. Only he knows what's good for us. We don't like adversity. We don't like trials. We don't like hard times. And yet those are some of the best times because they're drawing us closer to him, because they allow us to see him in ways like never before. It stinks when you're in it, but when you come out, you can praise God like never before because the Lord's doing it and you know it. It's about the Lord, his power, his glory. People, it's so easy. Listen, I love when Eddie, I still remember the message, I don't even know how long ago, but there's two kingdoms. That's a fact. Okay, there's the kingdom of earth. Ed would call it, Ed Miller would say, on the level of earth. He uses that term all the time. He says, on the level of earth, you know, I say, how are you and Lillian doing? He goes, well, on the level of earth, you know, we're getting closer to that day. You know, the body's declining, you know. But on the level of heaven, you know, and talking about the, he goes, it's good, perfect, and acceptable. Right, Lori? He says it all the time. It's good, perfect. So I already know the answer, so I don't ask him anymore. No, but he'll say that unless there's two kingdoms. And I think as believers, so many times that we're living on the kingdom of heaven, of earth, rather than the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven sees things that go on in the world and says, God's in control. He's 100%. You know, it's Psalm 115, verse 3. The Lord is in the heavens and he does what? As he pleases. He does whatever he pleases. In Daniel 4:35, it talks about you can't thwart the will of God. God's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, it's already played out. We've already played the whole thing out in heaven, but we're living in it on earth. So why can't we focus on the things above instead of the things on this earth in Colossians 3? That's where God wants us, so we can see things with an eternal perspective and come to a greater understanding and be able to praise God through it. That's the beauty of life. But instead, we're hooked. We watch TV. We check social media, whatever you do. I don't know. I don't do any of that social stuff. But you know, you look and you get caught up in all the things that are happening. I get a friend sends me text messages all the time. He said, my new sport is rabbit holes. You know, he's going down one rabbit hole after another. One rabbit hole. And I'm like, I don't have to do nothing. I just say, I go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. And then I got to the point, I just gave him all scripture. And he's not a believer, but I gave him all scripture anyway. It's like, no, God's in control. God's got this. No matter what happens, I don't care who does what to who, God's still in control. At the end of the day, I'm going to praise him. Listen, if the whole thing falls apart, what are you going to do? I'm going to praise God. Amen. I'm not going to praise him for the falling apart part, but I'm going to praise him anyway. If God's will is adversity, then give me adversity. If that's God's will, I'm not going to change it. The Lord is always preparing us today for tomorrow. Everything's a preparation for the next day. I don't know what tomorrow's bringing, but I can tell you this. I 100% believe that my Lord has walked the footsteps of my tomorrow. He's already lived it. He's already gone before me. And if it was just to clear out some brush, some land, you know, pave a road for me to make it easy, then he's already done that. If it means that he's put some roses on the side, but he wants me to see the thorns as well, he'll do that. God is faithful in our lives in such a personal way that he doesn't, I don't want to say he doesn't treat us all the same. I think he does in essence, but not in matter. In other words, it's not we don't always live the same life and go through the same thing. Some people need the harder times. I used to say, I used to think God waited too long to save me. Like, why didn't he save me earlier? And it's so funny when you say that. When you're young in the faith, you know, oh, God, why didn't you save me when I was in my 20s and spare me all this, Spare me that part of my life, that section of my life. And it's like, when you start to mature and you get old, you realize in the fullness of the times, God sent forth his son. He saved me at the perfect time because I needed to live that side of life. I needed to go through the things that I went through. Some of you know, and you've been through more than me, and you had to go through that in order to come to the other side to learn how to praise him. To learn how to really see the power that God has in a person's life. And we become a testimony, a living testimony, to be able to give proclamation of the power of God to transform our lives. But God, I love this verse. It's in Acts 17, 24 and 25. It says, the God who made the world, that's how awesome our God is, and all things in it, okay? Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. So for all them people that, oh, God saved you so you can serve him. Read Acts 17, 25. I'll read it again. I know you want to hear it. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Amen. Oh, if that's all you get, how awesome is that? He's given you life. For the believer, it's eternal. Amen. He's given you life. He's given you breath. Let everything that has breath is the last breath. Praise the Lord. Everything. He's given us that breath. How do we not give him back praise? And then he says, in all things. Everything I have, God's given me. Every good gift, James 1:17, comes from the Father of lights who is above. He just pours it down. He bends down to feed me. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? He deserves to be praised for his mighty acts. His mighty acts. His acts of creation. It's all his. His providence. His redemption. For his excellent greatness. His wondrous attributes. Listen, his providence in our lives, it literally means that God knew every possible way, every avenue. Let's use salvation. God saved me at this time. God looked at, his providence looked at, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. Maybe, losing it, maybe it was, and he sees all of them scenarios, and then his sovereignty chooses that path. For me, it was the death of my father. That rocked my world. That was a void that I couldn't overcome by just, drink it away or smoke it away, whatever. It wasn't going away. And it was something that caused me to seek a heavenly father, to seek the Lord. And then his will was that specific time, whenever that was, that God said, my spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit and reveal to you that you're my child. His redemption, not mine. It's mine now, but it was his. It was his. His excellent greatness. How great is our God? We should sing that song. I'm telling you, she cheated. She had to look ahead. Listen, we cannot plumb the depths of all that God is or that he has done. We'll never come to the end of that for all eternity. This is why our eternal worship, it'll never be boring. Have you ever thought heaven's going to be boring? I have. I'm at, like, eternity. Like, there's times I think of eternity like it never ends. Like, I don't know if I want to live for eternity. I don't want to die in heaven either. But, I mean, what's eternity? I can't fathom it. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not there yet. But if I get there before you, I'll let you know. I'll come back and tell you. Not even maybe. Listen, there's nothing little about God, and there is nothing great apart from him. When you think of what the Lord accomplished on the cross, you know, I like Sunday when the preacher said how one crumb could have fed them all. One drop of his blood could have saved them all. And one word created it all. That's our God. That's the excellent greatness of our God. He's worthy to be praised. How do we not praise him? Listen to Ephesians 1:19 and 20. It says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? The surpassing greatness. That's excellent greatness. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. The greatest purpose all else in entire universe is the greatness of his greatness. It goes on to mention all these instruments. Verse 3, it says, praise him with trumpet sounds. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Can you imagine if we had the resounding cymbals? We'd have somebody up here like the Macho Man. Tish! Tish! Dan would love that. Tish! He'd be like, no, get them out of here. It starts with the trumpet. Isn't that awesome? The trumpet's the shofar. That's the ram's horn. The trumpet's associated with the giving of the law, the proclamation of Jubilee, which Christ is our Jubilee, the coronation of the Jewish kings when they crowned another king, and it was also for raging for war. It's also to gather God's people. What will we hear when the Lord raptures us? The sound of the trumpet. I'm a little disappointed it happened so fast, though. You know, the whole twinkling of an eye thing, I don't know. I want to hear the trumpet like it's warm, really, really loud and stuff. And then I want to go up nice and slow. I want the view because I'm scared of heights. So I'm thinking I won't be afraid of heights at that time. So I'll be just going up nice and slow and just, yeah. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to be boom, I'm in the presence of Almighty God. And so will you. So will you. The point of these instruments, there's none of them that are left out. The trumpet or the ram's horn, it's usually the priest that blows the horn. When you look at the harp and the lyre, that's usually the Levites would be using those instruments. Some of the dancing and the timbrel, the women would be part of that worship that they would be praising with those instruments. Some of the stringed instruments, all these things were broken down. You know, the commentaries love to get into all these things. Oh, it's a wind instrument. It's a stringed instrument. It's a hollow instrument. It's shaped like this. It's shaped like that. The bottom line, at the end, none of them we reserve for any particular, but it's there for all. Whatever you bring, listen, there's some churches, they jump and they dance around. If that's the way you're praying, as long as you're praising God with a pure heart, go for it. Go for it. You got different instruments, whatever. You know what I mean? I love the way Trey plays. You know, he plays lead, but he's not like, you know, he's not, you know, up here performing. It's so subtle and it's perfect. It blends right in. And that's the beauty of it, because it's worshiping God. We want to glorify the Lord. We're not up here to, you know, nobody's performing. Listen to this quote. Human voices used correctly by God's grace and for God's glory is the most perfect musical instrument in the world. The instrument's just accompanying us. But God is listening to our worship. It's interesting that the instruments will be used in heaven as well. Revelation 5, 8 and 8, 6 to 12. But there'll be plenty of singing in heaven as well. Revelation 5, 6, Revelation 11, 15, 16, 19, I mean, there's singing all through. It's almost like this divine orchestra that's going on. I'll tell you, I love our worship. I love Sunday morning when the church is more full and everyone's singing. It sounds so awesome. It just ushers in that spirit. But can you imagine heaven? Like all the angels? Myriads upon myriads. Are you kidding me? Like, can you imagine the worship in heaven? We don't talk about heaven enough, you know. Jesus preached more on hell than he did about heaven. We probably don't preach enough about hell either, but I mean, when it comes up, it's there. We don't we don't avoid it. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. After all, that breath comes from the Lord. And if things that do not have breath can praise him that we've seen in Psalm 148, verses 8 and 9, surely we can as well. In verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen. He gave us breath, and we breathe his praises. I remember hearing, and I wanted to find it, but I don't remember who said it. But they basically said that Yahweh, which is YHWH, it had no, you know, A in there at all. But that was the name for God, and that it couldn't even be pronounced. But it was literally a breath. It was like a breath. And so when the baby, you know, gets whacked in the fesses and the crew and they get all that stuff out of their lungs and they take that first breath, it's like they're praising God. It's like, well, that feels good. It's praising God. Every person that's ever lived has worshiped God from birth. Every. It says this, one writer wrote this, his name is in the Hebrew composed rather of breathing than of letters. to show that all breath comes from him. Therefore, let it be used for him. For him. What a day it will be when all things in all places unite to glorify the one living and true God. This will be the final triumph of the church of God. We have all as much reason to praise God as we do the need to breathe. He's given you breath. He's given you life. He's given you strength. He's given you the desires of your heart. There's nothing you have that he hasn't given you. Nothing. The word literally means has breath. Denotes all living creatures endowed with life by their creator. Always in distinction from the creator. It's all him. Let me close with these thoughts. He's created us for himself. That's why, you know, when we were unbelievers and we lived for ourselves and we didn't want to give God the time of day and we were so prideful and so full of ourselves, God created us for himself. You're not your own. He paid for you. He redeemed you. He has redeemed us for himself. For his sake. Not for our sake. For his sake. We benefit. We're the benefactors of all of it. But yet he did it for his sake. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's not hard. That's good. God created the universe that it might glorify him. Not for us, for him. For him. It was not brought into existence for you and me. The Lord made the heavens. Psalm 96:5. Today you and I are living in a created universe that is actually singing praises to God right now. We can't hear the stars. He can. He can. We can't hear the creatures in the night. He can. I don't know, are the crickets? Do they praise God? I know the birds do. I'm sure of that. This one writer writes, he says, but man is out of tune. This great universe of God is a mighty instrument. And one day birds began to sing. Only the redeemed are in tune. Only the redeemed are in tune. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. I wonder how many people go to church for the purpose of worshiping God. Just to worship God. I don't mean just singing. You worship God right now while you're sitting and listening. That's worshiping God. And that, my friends, is the excellence of his greatness. Amen? Amen. Our Father God, we do thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. You are worthy to be praised. Lord Jesus, you've done it all. You continue to do it. You continue to serve your church, your bride. Lord, I believe the day may come sooner than later. I hope later. But when you come and get us, to bring us home to the Father's house, to present us as your bride, as we sit at the Lamb's Supper. God, we got so much to be thankful for, so much to praise you for. May we never lose the gratefulness in our hearts. And Lord, may we remain focused upon you and you alone, because you are worthy. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.